Welcome to the Draw Doctors Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm your host John Crockett and today we are talking all things round 15 review and waiver wire pickups. And to help us do that is the man from Western Victoria who is not too shy of a kebab. I've never seen him double fist it, but he does love a kebab. It is Stevie Fizz. How you doing, mate?
I'm doing good. Got to use a Sophie Ellis-Bextor reference with Carol Baskin doing the one of the dancing programs, and of course that is murder on the dance floor because of the the cat. I can see the cat. The cat's on the rail in my background.
I don't actually watch that Dancing with the Stars shows, but I'm going to watch that with Carol Baskin. I hope she comes out in full Tiger King get up and just kill it. She will kill it. Cam, as a kebab connoisseur. And someone who I think has been to that establishment that the Richmond players have been to and not the kebab shop, welcome to you.
Yeah, thanks, mate. The strippers at that Hollywood club are doing rails almost better than Steve's cat, to be honest. And I'll tell you what,
there Steve's it goes again! Is...
Yeah, I know, it's amazing. It's Tony Hawk's pro skater, but the cat's amazing.
With so cats.
There's a mod. There's a mod that we can throw in. So, yeah, doing well, been to the establishment, love a kebab. Let's get on with it.
All right. Kicking it off was Hawks and the Crows. And the first thing I noticed was Wingard and Impey were used throughout the midfield to add a bit of pace, but Impey didn't work so much, but Wingard did look all right. So, Clarko again, spinning the boards and the Magnus just to see what worked. And hopefully Wingard, who's been pretty much shit for the year, can run out the rest of the season and give us something in terms of a decent score. Rory Led did start off slow, and that was due to old Biscuits Crouch, Brad Crouch, back into that team. But Led was able to pick up the pace and did score pretty decently. But my question is there a chance he loses that defensive status in 2021?
I wouldn't have thought so. I would have thought he played enough.
Tells me no.
I would have thought he played enough in the first half of the year in defense.
Fair enough.
Who knows?
And I got to say, big boy McAvoy, he's got to go back to rucking, surely. The Hawks are getting smashed in the clearances. He's not doing overly great as that key defender, intercept defender down there. So maybe a move back into the ruck. But he is 31, so maybe he gets shipped out with the list sizes changing in 2021. And with Sicily going down, Jack Scrimshaw has been pumping out some pretty good scores the last week. I've got a feeling that he could get the pump up over the summer as D1 material for next year. He's going to get that much hype. People are going to take him as a D1 for 2021.
I think what excites me about that take is that we've recorded this now twice, and I thought you'd back away from it when we tried to record it again, but you've stuck with it.
Have you learned nothing here at the Draft Doctors? We double down. Just go with it. We're just going with it. So Jack Scrimshaw will get the hype throughout the summer with all the fantasy articles, and people will pay through the roof for him.
This is why he won't be a top 10 defender, is because James Sicily wasn't exactly a lockdown top 10 defender, and Scrimshaw doesn't have that history yet.
He's played one game, one good or two good games. I think he just needs, everyone needs to calm down a little bit. Tigers Dockers. All right. So Blake Akers was absolutely all the rage in preseason. He was one of Stato's perennial boys year in, year out. And as he hits his 25th year, you'd think that maybe he's going to do something. And he absolutely didn't. He stunk it up all year until this point when he decides, you know what? I'm going to actually take my chance at the shit Dockers and drop 108 AFL fantasy and 129 Supercoach. Most importantly, he actually looked pretty good playing on the wing. Now, he spent much of that game there, and the game was actually played around him. So that kind of elevated his scores a little bit in regards to there was a lot of ball coming around that wing. I wouldn't feel confident if I had him, but geez, you'd want to give him a go off the waiver because he could, if he keeps that scoring up, be a really good differential going into your finals. in general, Fremantle were just absolutely dominant around stoppages, smashing the Tigers 38-19 in clearances. Next week, they come up against Melbourne, who lost the clearances to Sydney this week. So I think there's an opportunity for Freo mids to maybe score quite well next week against Melbourne. If you're a Dustin Martin and Basher Hooley owner, well, probably not progressing to your next week of finals. They were definitely off their game, more so Dusty than Hooley, but they would have lost you roughly combined 80 points between them, which is just brutal in AFL fantasy final. Lucky for Supercoach and Ultimate Footy, you've had a bye week this week and you'll get them back next week. Defenders against Freo continues to be a thing, with Short, Vlosten and Bolter all doing well. Bolter more specifically for your Supercoach format. As mentioned, they have the Ds on deck next week, so Stephen May, Christian Salem and the likes will be good.
Oscar McDonald. I checked out the Swans and the Ds. And the first thing I noticed with this game, it was like when Bart and Lisa were playing rock, paper, scissors, and Lisa was Sydney going, poor, predictable Melbourne, always shits the bed. And Melbourne's like, good old shit the bed, never fails. And it did deliver everything. Everything as it happened. They were horrible Melbourne. They had the good win against the Saints the previous week and just completely balls it up yet again. The Swans, young talent coming through, looks like they've done a bit of a quick rebuild. You've got Wicks, McInerney, Blakey, who's playing a bit more behind the ball, up on the wing. Looks pretty good and has that ability to go forward, kick goals. Dawson's getting a run through that midfield now, with JPK getting a bit long in the tooth, and Rowbottom's been pretty good as well. Gus Brayshaw was looking pretty good until he rolled his ankle and spent a fair bit of time off the ground getting that looked at. Did come back on and didn't have too much of an impact towards the end of the game there, but he's a one to watch for next week if he does play. He might miss one there for your finals. And Stephen May, he's been pretty solid in defence the last few weeks. They actually rolled him forward and kicked a snag, so one to watch there if he... Melbourne are looking for that tall timber to help Sam Wiedemann out, because Tommy Mack is absolutely cooked. So maybe that's a thing going forward and that could hurt his scores. But that was it for that game. It was pretty hard going for that. Cam, run us through the Eagles and the Bombers.
Yeah, we'll do. So big injury to Andy McGrath this week. Looks like it's a typical syndesmosis injury, which we love here at the pod. So it's generally 8 weeks or more of injury, potentially surgery. Dunkley, Presty and Nankervis all had the same injury earlier in the year, and it's a really tricky one to come back from. You just won't expect him to come back this side of finals. It's great news for owners of Potato Langford, who will likely have a bigger role, and he kind of showed that, what he was capable of anyway, by pumping out a big 113 this week in AFL Fantasy. Pretty big score. He's generally thrown wherever needs to be fixed, unfortunately, and he doesn't score well in all positions. So I'd expect his potato colours to show through at any moment. Don't feel confident that he's going to be getting 70s and 80s for the rest of the year. Dyson Heppel surprised just about everyone when he went from indefinite on the official injury list to being named and playing. He popped out a pretty putrid score of 45 AFL Fantasy and 75 Supercoach. It was actually not from limited time on ground that reduced this. It was him probably just finding his way back into competitive football after so long out. I'm going to go early on this one and just say that he's probably a good late draft pickup next year. I think his average is going to be quite stanky. He's got the name, so that might elevate his ADP a little bit more. But if he has a really good preseason, there's no reason why he can't score quite well, given that he's lost 2 years, essentially, of his career to foot injuries. But that looks to be over. If you're on the AFL Fantasy platform and were in an elimination final this week, you've probably added two names to your Never Again list. Dom Sheed and Tim Kelly. they decided that this week, of all weeks, was the week to stink it up, popping out a 40 and a 38 AFL fantasy, respectively. And their Supercoach scores were in the same areas. Luke Shuey went down with a hamstring, and that's likely going to see him miss the rest of the fantasy season. And I'd expect that Tim Kelly and Dom Sheed with the Dogs on deck will probably return to form next week in an all-out contested battle. And speaking of that Shuey injury, I'd expect Jack Redden is probably floating around in some waivers. He's probably looking pretty good now that you've got no Elliot Yeo, you've got no Luke Shuey. What do you reckon, boys? Jack Redden as a waiver pickup?
Yeah, absolutely.
Been solid in the past. Very solid in the past.
Yeah, he popped out the 84 and the 90. AFL Fantasy and 90 Super Coach.
And Nick Nat's low game on time on ground, that was just in-game resting?
Yeah, in-game resting.
Yep, cool. That's what we want. We don't want him missing with the finals upon us. Steve, run us through GWS and Carlton.
My God, I was trying so hard not to just piss myself laughing. I was looking at crappy off-brands on Twitter and there's some rippers. But GWS versus Carlton, this was not a ripper. This game was the opposite of a ripper. I'm not sure what the opposite of a ripper is, but it was bad.
Putrid stink.
A lot of kicking it to... A what?
Putrid stink.
There's a lot of putrid stink about this game. There's a lot of kicking it to each other. Doherty and Haynes were dominating as such. There was only four players with over 20 disposals. Paddy Dow was not one of them. Was not one of them. Just repeating that. Big H for Carlton. I don't even know how he says his last name. Looked amazing, except his kicking goal was terrible. So, I wouldn't have thought the GWS defense was that bad. I mean, he just clunked them. Just couldn't kick them. Tom Williamson, I know the disposal efficiency was only 53%, but he took on some tough kicks. Made some. You can see why the Blues have persisted. Nice to see you stringing some games together after some injury woes. And Paddy Dow was the only player without a mark or a tackle, and despite kicking a goal, scored less than Cam Paulson.
Ooh. You love to see it. Cam Paulson, I think, might be one of my boys.
The Dow boys only combined for 45 fantasy points this week, I think.
Oh, but with the scaling, that's at least 50, maybe.
55. If we're lucky. Putrid stuff. All right, let's move on to the waiver wire pickups. Normally we use Ultimate Footy's ownership of 69% or less, but now the end of the year, things are getting a bit tougher to find that nugget in the rough there, so we bump it up to about 75%. And Cam, why don't you run us through your pickups, please?
Yeah, so I've gone the same tactic that Steve went last week in regards to just looking for trends or opportunities for teams to stream, given that we're heading into the finals. And actually, for me, I have Fremantle mids, as I mentioned earlier, looking at going against the, you know, one of the worst contested sides of the season. And so you'd think that the Fremantle mids, after doing similar this week against another terrible contested side team, that actually they can get a pretty good score. So if you've, I mean, it's probably Blake Akers at that point, because the rest of the Fremantle mids are probably on someone's team, but Blake Akers looking pretty good. And then the other one was actually Melbourne defenders looking pretty good this week as well, given the kicking efficiency of Frio as well.
Cool. Steve, what do you got?
Reece Conker's a Freo mid.
Is he though?
Possibly.
He's not.
But you wouldn't play him, would you, Cam?
No. Oh, he might be good for a week. And actually, no. He's been serviceable this year. Serviceable.
That is the wrong answer.
No. Serviceable.
Right, no, I won't do it to you, Jono. I'm looking to play St Kilda against the Hawks. St Kilda are coming off the bye, so they've had the extra rest. Geelong off the bye against Essendon. I love both those matchups. I think it's pretty handy. And yeah, Freo with the extra day against Melbourne, probably not a bad look as well. Melbourne are pretty hot and cold.
What do you think? I mean, Geelong off the bye are usually pretty shit, though. But is this the other thing?
Yeah, I think it's a different year.
Yeah.
Like, what's a bye's like a regular week of football now.
Yeah. Yeah, a bit
too
weird.
Much rest. They're not used to it. They'll lose.
Mm.
I went the traditional route for my waiver wire pickups. Jack Scrimshaw, funnily enough, is at 77%. Went up 20% from last week, so he will still get a bit of a bump going into the end of the year. And the rest of mine are all Sydney players, funnily enough. They're playing Carlton next round. Ryan Clark, he's at 57%. He's knocked out a couple of tons the last couple of weeks. I think he might be the real deal. We've fallen into this trap before where he's put together a few good scores and then burnt us, but I think he's just there seagulling out the back and getting the cheap ball, which I like. Sam Wicks is at 9%, but more of a keeper stash. Like what his role in that team, and got real opportunity to build into something there. And Nick Blakey, he's at 57%. With the Blues, he's playing more behind the ball and on the wing, so more opportunity there, especially with Carlton's poor kicking of the football inside forward 50. So they're my three for this week.
It feels like every Sydney player, aside from like Tom Papley, is playing behind the ball.
Yeah.
A lot of behind the ball action at the Sydney. Mm.
Tom Papley was... He got about halfway. Tom Papley got halfway. He never got behind the ball.
Splitting hairs there.
He's coming from the other side. Just coming in. And building that bridge. If people know what that metaphor is. No? Okay.
No.
Look.
No. What? That was a joke?
No.
Oh, my God. You Carol Baskin that one.
Poor attempt at humor. All right, that is going to wrap up the show for this week. Thank fuck. We will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Draft Doctors Podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.